to Radio Gorgeous.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day,
Radio Gorgeous, the sexist station, where you'll only hear the female voice. Today we're talking to a woman who is fascinated by feeling and looking good, naturally. She has a degree in homeopathy and is a keen herbalist. She is founder of a homemade company and has just published her first book. She is Soph McVeigh and her gorgeous book is Treat Yourself Natural. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi Josephine, lovely to be here.
So Soph, Radio Gorgeous is all about being and looking gorgeous. So first of all, can you tell us some easy natural beauty products that we can make at home?
Yes. In my book, I have several really quite straightforward ones to start with, which I think are the best stepping point, I suppose. One of the easiest ones to make is the sea salt bath salts and the body scrubs.
Fabulous, because those things cost about, you know, £12 to £20 in the shops.
I know,
they?
It's mad. And you can make them for the price of a bag of salt. And again, in terms of getting the salt, I would always go to an independent health food shop and you buy these big bags of salt, like 10 kilogram bags, for not a huge amount of money. And you can do your entire kind of Christmas present range with the bath salts.
Perfect. Now, tell us how you do it then.
Okay, well, bath salts, super, super easy. Again, you use sea salt. Go for sea salt, not man-made table salt, because you want to get all the benefits.
Yeah, what sort of grain? You know how it's like different grains?
Oh yes, don't use coarse.
Okay.
Because you will scratch your skin. So you want fine sea salt.
Okay.
And the sea salt with the minerals, which you get from the sea, which is absolutely wonderful. And then that goes into a bowl. You measure that into pretty little jars. You know, it can be recycled jars, or you can even buy Killin type jars. Measure out how much you want, tip that into a bowl, and then if you're doing straightforward sea salts, you just add a few drops of essential oil, maybe lavender or rose or something that you love, or maybe if you want to do it for Christmas, something cinnamony. Sprinkle a few petals of that if you have lavender petals.
Mm.
Crumple up a little bit of cinnamon if you're doing cinnamon. You can be a little bit creative with it. Pop it back in the jar, label it, ribbon it, and you have a beautiful all-natural bath salts with no anti-caking agents in, no nothing like that, just straightforward salt and wonderful essential oils.
Fabulous. So you can make yourself beautiful, your friends beautiful, and it doesn't cost much.
Yes, it's a win-win.
Brilliant. It is. So this informative recipe style book, I call it, is divided into four sections, spring, summer, autumn and winter. As it's winter now, can you tell us some remedies for warding off colds? Because you know I've arrived here with the tail end of a cold. You've already gave me some wonderful grown-up Ribena, I called it.
Yes, grown-up. Well, the grown-up Ribena was elderflower berry syrup. And that, again, is in my book, the recipe for that. Its Latin name is Sambucol. You might have seen it in various chemists. And again, hugely expensive for a tiny pot. And this is from the elder tree, which in Britain more or less grows like a weed in our hedgerows. You see it in May, you get the elder flowers. And then in September, you get the elder berries. And the elder berries is fantastic for warding off colds. It's full of vitamins, particularly vitamin C, and very kind of boosts your immune system. And all you do is you collect the berries, take them off the little twigs, boil them, add sugar, throw them away. This, I do it quite by taste. I have quite a sweet tooth, but my daughter likes it quite sharp.
God, so,
usually yeah, I know, it's terrible. And so you can do it by taste, because you boil up the elderberries first and then you sieve them and drain them.
Yeah, I was going to say, so yes. You, in the book, you talk about muslin. Is that easy to buy?
Yes, you can get it from little hardware shops. If you don't have it, you can even put a J cloth, a clean J cloth.
Fantastic.
Through the sieve. Line the sieve with that.
So you've got sugar, you've got water, and you've got elderberries.
Yep, literally that is it. You boil it for about half an hour and you kind of squish them out, you mush them out. You're just trying to release all the goodness from the berries into the water, and then you throw away the used husks of the berries. And then if you do want it to last a little longer, I recommend always having in your kitchen cupboard some citric acid. Citric acid is a man-made derivative of basically kind of lemon juice. Mm-hmm. And it acts as a great preservative for many
and
syrups
is that
and things.
Natural?
Well, it's a derivative. It's derived from something that's natural, so technically not. Again, it's very, very sharp. So if you add it, it makes your syrups much tartar again.
In fact, yesterday, because I read the book in bed and I had this cold, I got up and I knew I had rosemary. So I went to my garden, picked some rosemary, put it in a bowl, inhaled it, and I swear it took away the phlegm. It cleared me. And then I did the bold step of drinking a glass of it. Because I know it's good for kind of nervous tension, which mm-hmm. I definitely have. You know, I know that it's got benefits. So thank you.
That's so great. I think rosemary inhalation is one of my favourite ones, because you're right, it really does work. And also they say, which I'm not sure is, I can't prove or not, but it's supposed to be a good memory tonic. So
well, we definitely need that at this stage.
I know. Exactly. Take some of that every day. Yeah, that's going to help. Yeah.
So what else can we do for cold?
So my book is divided seasonally. So what I try to encourage people to involve themselves with is looking at nature and what's out there in nature at this time of year. And so obviously in spring, there's all kind of wonderful fresh leaves. And I talk a lot about nettles and dandelions. Summer, wonderful flowers like lavender and rose. September, a lot of focus on the berries, what you can do with the berries. And then in winter, of course, it's the kind of, you know, the slightly quiet months in nature. Everything's going into hibernation. But you still have a lot of evergreen herbs, like you said, rosemary, sage, thyme. And then I rely quite a lot on spices like ginger and cloves and cinnamon. Again, in the winter section of the book, I talk about garlic and onions.
Yes.
And again, you have those in the kitchen, so you won't have to go out and buy any specialised things. And there's a very good recipe for an expectorant. And this was given to me by a wonderful herbalist called Jill Davis of Herbs Hands Healing. And it is incredibly strong. It's chilies and onions and garlic, and you liquidize it all up in vinegar. And it really does work. It loosens up
and
your chest.
You put it in a jar and then put it in the fridge, do you?
Yeah, and you take a few teaspoons. What I have also used it for. Makes a very good salad dressing, actually. Add it to your olive oil. So it's kind of multi-purpose. And it will, yeah, exactly, it will last.
So the whole idea of your book really is that everything can come from your garden or your kitchen cupboard. And even if you haven't got a garden, you can grow it in pots.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you don't have to have a huge garden. You can have a windowsill. A lot of the pots you can even just get from the supermarket. Throughout the year, I collect quite a lot of different sized jars and bottles. You know, I have overflowing cupboards, which I love. Mm. And I'm always kind of looking at interesting labels and things to keep an eye on.
Tell us about balms.
Balms are literally just three ingredients. It's an oil, a wax, and a butter. And because there's no water, you don't need any preservative. So it's wonderfully natural. Not like a cream, where bacteria can grow in a cream, so you need preservatives. So a balm, it's super, super easy to make. And depending on what oils you put in, you can get different benefits for it.
Okay, can you tell one for our age women who are dry? Yeah.
Well, there's a couple there. Rose hip oil, absolutely brilliant. So rose hips, again, abundant in the autumn. They have a fantastic amount of omegas in, and they're very, very good for slightly older skin. And while we're talking about omegas, borage oil is the little beautifully blue, or you can get white, little flowers often comes out in the springtime. And borage oil, the researchers now prove that it almost has more omegas in than evening primrose oil.
Wow.
So again, if you put, you imagine that, putting that on your skin, and your skin can absorb a lot of goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
So those, if you add those to your balms...
Yeah, so can I buy borage oil then?
You can buy borage oil. You can make your own borage oil. Again, that's in the book.
What?
You would take your cocoa butter, because the thing is about, you need different melting points of beeswax and cocoa butter and oil. So you take your beeswax or vegan wax if you wanted. So that would give it the balm a hardness. Mm-hmm. You take the cocoa butter or shea butter, which will give it its lovely kind of moisturising quality, and then the oils you would then add. You'd either choose a rose hip or a borage, or even just a straightforward sunflower oil, and then that gives it its liquidity as well. There's a very good website called Aromantics up in Scotland, and I think their quality of their products is very, very good, and you can get all these oils I talk about from there. And little pots and things, again, we sell it in the Homemade Company. But
yeah,
again,
tell us, hey, you keep referring to the Homemade Company. I think you're going to have to tell us about it. You're the founder. What does it do?
I'm the founder of the Homemade Company. We make pretty much kits, actually, to make your own lip balms and balms. Because I figured there was a kind of a gap in the market for people who wanted to make their own homemade beauty products, but didn't want to go out, as you say, and be daunted by, whoa, where am I going to get beeswax from?
Yeah.
And where am I going to get this from? So it all comes in a nice, simple kit. Yes. And so that can be like step one. You can do that kit and go, oh, I really like this. I want to know more. And that's then when you can buy the rest of the ingredients in slightly larger quantities.
And is it going well? If, you know, is the word out?
The word's out, yes.
And you say we, who do you do it with?
I have a fantastic warehouse in Hampshire that packs up all the kits and sends them all out. And then I have a few wonderful helpers who
do the actual
and you kind of get everything together. And no, but it's very much cottage industry. It's very much
it's
kitchen
wonderful.
Table.
Yeah, that's what we want. That's what we want at Radio Gorgeous.
Yeah,
well. So I have to mention Kirsty Allsop, who's a British TV presenter and who's a bit like the kind of UK's answer to Martha Stewart for those over the pond. How did she get involved with your book?
Yes, you're right. UK's Martha Stewart. That is brilliant. Kirsty is fantastic. She's a great friend and she's always been incredibly supportive about my book and before that, my company. And I think of her as a bit of a queen of crafts. So for this, it was a really good match for her doing the foreword because in the book, there's so much about making things and she does a lot of craft programs about making things. And this is just a slightly different angle. It's about natural things. And
did she give you the confidence to do this, do you think?
I think she's a great role model for many women.
She's a normal size.
Yeah, heaven.
She's a normal person.
Yeah.
You know, she's got children.
Yes.
You know.
And she balances a very busy life and she juggles everything. And she is incredibly warm-hearted and generous-spirited. And so for her to write the foreword for my book, she was just, of course, I love it. Hugely appreciated. Soph McVeigh thinks Radio Gorgeous is the best home remedy available.
RadioGorgeous.com.
Yeah, well, hopefully we're in John Lewis as well, so...
Wow! Yeah, that's really good. I'm always reading when I go to a health food shop, no parabens in it, and I don't really know what's good about having no parabens.
Well, parabens and various other kind of certain synthetic colours and fragrance can be quite kind of hormone disrupting. And they've even found that the skin can actually absorb, obviously, good things and bad things. You know, we've all seen how kind of, you know, nicotine patches work and all those kind of things. And so if you are putting on a lot of a certain product, you should be quite aware of what it is you're actually putting on. That's my view of it.
Well, so literally, if something's like heavily perfumed or got something in it, it could literally unbalance you.
Well, that's probably quite an extreme way. I mean, I'm a great one for balance in life. So a little bit of your favourite perfume, a little bit of lipstick, a little bit here, a little bit there. I don't think it's going to upset anything too dramatically. But if you are permanently smothering yourself with something, and maybe also exposing yourself to other things through your food and what you eat, then maybe just keep an eye on it. That's what I'd say.
Now, Soph, I have to say, do you live by it or do you sneakily have a few things?
Oh, I'm terrible. I'm the worst. What is it? Cobbler's children have no shoes.
So you do use the odd product, do you?
Oh, my gosh. In terms of products, I really do try to buy organic.
So talking about hair, what can I put on the hair to make my hair more lustrous?
One of my favourites is nettle rinse. Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds a little bit odd.
Yeah.
But if you collect the nettles in springtime and you make a tincture from the nettles. In my book, I explain how you make a tincture. Tincture is basically a way of collecting the benefit of the plant you're using and putting it into liquid. And then once you've made your tincture, that will keep, put in a little bottle and that will keep. And you add a few drops of that to your hair rinse and it gives a kind of, well, I think it gives a lovely kind of luster.
Fabulous, fabulous. Sounds really good. Now, you are really passionate about homeopathy, about herbs. How did it all start?
Well, quite a few years ago, I retrained and I did a degree in homeopathy. It was when I had my daughter And I wanted, as a mother, to have another kind of string to my bow. I never really set out thinking I wanted to be a homeopath. I just thought this was quite an interesting alternative health way of looking after children. And I gave birth totally naturally, you know, again, probably slightly unplanned, you know, all those kind of things. It wasn't like I wasn't going to set out to be some kind of earth mother. It was just one of those things like, help, run out of time, no time for an epidural, damn. And I do remember as a child, my mother often giving me things like arnica for when I fell over and various
kind
of
remedies. So you're already coming from a place where you thought it was normal, alternative.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though my parents were terribly kind of unalternative in many ways. But yes, we'd have a little white homeopathic pill or something.
Wow, that's unusual for the 70s.
Well, 70s, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. That and Angel Delight.
Yeah, exactly. Delicious. So you studied homeopathy, and what happened to you?
So I did a degree in homeopathy and I practiced it for a while afterwards, and I realized something was missing. The creativity I needed was missing, because my previous background was a designer, mm-hmm. which I loved. I loved making things. And so for me with homeopathy, it was too dry for me, and I missed the connection with creativity and making things and nature, actually, even though a lot of homeopathy comes from nature, it's quite removed. And so studying herbs and plants brought that back in. And then another step further, doing something with the herbs and plants into making something like balms and body salts and scrubs.
Now you've got a fabulous garden. We're not there now, unfortunately. We're in London. But can you tell us about it?
Oh, I love my garden. I find it a real haven. I made a tiny little, what I grandly call my medicinal garden, which I promise
that's
is about...
That's very Elizabethan.
Yes, yes. Can walk the parterre. Yeah. But it's actually, it's only a few metres by a few metres. And this is what I'm trying to get across to people, that you don't have to have acres and acres. You don't even need a garden to access nature. A lot of the ingredients in my book are from hedgerows. A lot of them are weeds. I'd probably say 80% in the book are free plants
so
and
you
weeds.
Plant
and
them anyway.
Well, my husband thinks I plant them.
All those weeds,
yes. Leave them.
Now you said that your marigolds did really well. Can you tell us about marigolds and the benefits? Because I'm going to grow them next year, definitely.
Marigolds are wonderful. You need to get English marigolds, and the official name, look on the seed pack, for calendula. Lovely, 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 cheerful little bright flower. It more or less kind of self-seeds itself as well. Oh, so yeah. You just leave it and it keeps on growing. And I think it is one of the best plants for skin. I came across it as a homeopath because we use it as a homeopathic remedy for helping skin and cuts and injuries to regenerate.
Wow.
And so you take it as a homeopathic internal pill. And then herbalists obviously use it hugely as topically applied ointment and cream.
Can you tell us what you've got in your book that we could make?
Well, we've got a wonderful infused marigold petal oil. Mm. So I mentioned tinctures before, and this is another way of getting the benefits out of the plants. You take the petals of the marigolds and you literally pour a lot of sunflower oil over them in an airtight jar and leave it for a couple of weeks in the sun. And slowly all the goodness from the petals seep out into the oil. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're worried about there not being enough sun or you don't have 2 weeks, the shortcut is you put it on a very, very, very low heat in your pan with the oil for a couple of hours, but very low heat.
Yeah, yeah. And then is that it?
And then you drain it, and that is it. And that is your infused marigold oil.
I can't believe how, actually, these things are so easy.
So easy, I know.
Now, why have we lost touch with herbalism?
Oh, do we live too busy lives?
What do you think of the beauty industry? Do you think it's a rip-off? Do you think it is? I mean, now you know how much products are actually, you know, you can make them so cheaply.
I think a lot of it is very clever marketing, very clever packaging. There are some very good products out there, you know, and I think we have in general over the years lost the connection with nature. You know, we live a much more urban society in the West than we ever have in the past. You know, things aren't handed down so much from mother to daughter. You know, we get our information now from the internet. I think we do tend to turn the telly on or turn the computer on rather than necessarily go out and explore what is out there. And again, hopefully my book will encourage people who are a bit nervous of it to go out and go, oh, well, I can forage because I've picked blackberries before. So yeah. It's just an extension of that. And it's just becoming a little bit more aware of what those other plants are.
It's been absolutely wonderful talking to you today. I've just got to ask one more thing. Out of all the products in the book, you know, if you could only have one, which one would you go for?
My chocolate lip balm.
Wow. Sounds like it keeps you going as
yes,
well.
Exactly.
Tell us about it.
Well, again, it's the balms. So you have the beeswax, the cocoa butter,
you
and
need
an oil.
Cocoa butter in it.
Yes, you need the cocoa butter. Definitely. But then you also add dark chocolate.
Wow.
Which is so heavenly.
Does that make your lips brown?
No, it gives a lovely glistening sheen, actually. And for anybody's complexion, it's really wonderful, actually.
And that's in the book?
Yes, and that's in the book.
Absolutely.
On Valentine's
amazing.
Day. Oh. So you can pucker up and kiss.
Oh, perfect. It's Treat Yourself Natural by Soph McVeigh, published by David and Charles. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Jasmine.
Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. Lots of love, darlings. Mwah.